Hi, I'm Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church, and this is another edition of Conversations with Harry and Bruce. And Bruce, let me kind of do a little teaser here for everyone. Mm-hmm. This is not the last Conversations, but Conversations is going to morph as we go into 2020, and we'll cover that some today as well.
We will. We're going to change it to Bruce and Harry instead of Harry and Bruce. Gotten a lot of feedback from people feel like that's more appropriate to do. But we do have some adjustments with our ministry plan E.
So devotionally, let me encourage you as you begin this new year with the noble-minded Bereans, and who were said not only noble-minded, they were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians, which, by the way, included people that were dying for the faith. Now, what is more noble-minded? Well, the text tells you. The text tells you in Acts chapter 17. It tells you that they were more noble-minded because, verse 11, it says that they received the word with eagerness, and they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. And in other words, they made a priority to hear the word of God preached and to prepare to hear the word of God preached. And then to personally get into the Word of God for verification, clarification, and amplification. So they would receive the Word, preaching of it, eagerly, and then they would examine the Scriptures, note, daily, to see if these things are so. Now, why do I do that? Well, okay, I confess my devotional thought in this edition of Conversations is directly related to my desire that you as a Christian, and please don't see this and hear this as me making a plea to substantiate my calling in life. But it does, I acknowledge, substantiate to me the importance of my calling in life and how I ought to conduct it and how I ought to embrace it. Because I believe, according to the Bible, other than your decision to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, which, by the way, is pretty well dependent upon what I'm about to say, other than that decision to come to Christ as Lord and Savior, there is no more important decision that you make in life than what preaching you listen to, how you prepare to listen to it, and what you do with what you heard preached. That the preaching of God's word. This is, the Bible says, through the foolishness of the message preached, we are being saved. The Bible, Paul said, I didn't come to baptize, although Jesus commanded that. But he said there's something even more important than baptism, upon which baptism and its effectiveness and faithfulness rest, and that is preaching. I didn't come to baptize, I came to preach the gospel. It's through the foolishness of the message preached that we are being saved. Notice preaching and the message. Not just preaching, but preaching the message. But not just the message being preached. Jesus said after the parable of the sower, which is the proclamation of the word throughout the whole field, Jesus said this. He said two things. Pay close attention to what you listen to. Then he said, pay close attention to how you listen. And he also tells us to pay close attention to whom we are hearing. Who are you listening to? The Bible says that when all said and done, the pupil becomes like the teacher. So, the Bible says we're born again through the living and abiding Word of God, that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God preached for our new birth. But then notice, not only is there the receptive, prepared hearing of the Word, you then have the daily, devotional, studious, thoughtful meditation and reflection upon the Word for clarification and affirmation and amplification and application in your life. So that's why every year I try to recommend not only do I want to communicate our pulpit schedule. We're going into the book of Romans. But I also like to communicate to people something that can help you in terms of a habit of life. And that is your daily time in the Word. So let me make some recommendations to you. There, basically, you can work this out by going to our bookstore. But number one is one of my favorite, I use all the time, is Morning Exercises by William Jay. Number two, Table Talk. I like to use William Jay, my morning exercises personally, and Table Talk became a great instrument in our family, along with the use of the catechism and the scripture proofs in the catechism. But a third thing that I like to recommend is reading through the Bible in a year. And there are things, there's the one-year Bible, there's the chronological Bible. There is also, there's a pamphlet we have available that has three different Bible, reading through the Bible in a year plans for you. Or you may just want to sit down and read chapter by chapter. And if you want to read through the Bible in a year, it takes about 20 minutes a day and about three chapters a day. And that'll get you through the Bible in a year. I like to tell Christians, do that every 5 to 7 years. But in terms of a regular devotional life, I think get yourself a good devotional, Table Talk, morning exercises, and then on Saturday, family worship and personal worship ought to spend time in the text that is coming up for Sunday morning and Sunday night, and so that you are actually preparing for the Word to accomplish that. So that's what I'd like to share with you by way of devotional and by way of our introduction tonight. And this is our conversations on the first Lord's Day of 2021.
Amen.
And I have to say, in many ways, 2020 was a blessing. In many ways, it was a challenge. And overall, I'm not too upset to see it in my rearview mirror and trying to anticipate what will 2021 hold. And that's kind of where I am, Bruce.
Yeah, we certainly didn't see coming what happened in 2020. So it's one of these you almost don't even want to try to figure out what's coming in 2021. I want to take this opportunity, though, Pastor. One of the aspects, and there are many aspects of discipleship, but one of the aspects of discipleship has to be the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You can't put that in a different category, which for some reason I think many people do. Clearly there's life on life, absolutely. But it's in the preaching and the teaching that the life on life gets established. And so one of the things that I have thought about this year and seen different examples of is how your preaching and teaching ministry has discipled us not knowing that a pandemic was coming. If you wait till the pandemic gets here and say, oh, I need to go get discipled in some areas, oh, you were way behind the eight ball. But all of a sudden, what came out, I know, in my life, and I saw in the life of our church family, with different aspects of the fruit of discipleship. An example is I've spoken to many different executive pastors and pastors during this year, especially in the last half of the year. And basically, their church's dynamic as it relates to giving was when their people came, they gave, but not other than that. And so giving didn't have a good discipleship anchor and foundation in their walk with the Lord. What we recognized at the church is that by God's grace, our people are committed to giving. Now, that's different from attending. So when they can't attend, and then they still gave. They still supported the ministries of the church, in some ways even in increasing measure. In some opportunities that got
Bruce, I remember getting a couple of phone calls from guys saying, you know, Pastor, I just want to encourage you that I can't be there because I'm in my age and my heart issue or whatever. But I want you to know that we're doing the best we can to stay up through streaming. And while we can't wait to get back, But we also want you to know, I'm not going to be there to place my gift in the act of worship, but we are going to, I just want you to know we're going to continue. In fact, we've been burdened to kind of increase our giving, knowing that this will be a challenging time. And to see that in that area, that such maturity was amazing. And by the way, the deacons, isn't that amazing that they had already created a mechanism for this to take place in God's providence through the online giving when people would be out of town or because of financial records or things like that.
Another example of the Lord going before us and preparing us. And I was in most all of those conversations about that. We never, ever, ever considered that we would actually depend on it.
Right.
This was simply providing a mechanism for people to be able to be good, faithful stewards. It was never, we're going to need it to be able to do it. And that, yet the Lord already established that before us. One thought I had when you were talking about the reading through the Bible plans, et cetera, I stumbled upon this a couple years ago. The app that I use for the Bible on my phone is the ESV app. It's a wonderful resource to have on your phone. I know I'm not going to get you to kissing your wife through a screen door. Screen door, yeah. I've always wondered why you know, how do you know what that feels like? But I'm not going there.
No, I just know I don't want it.
Okay.
I don't want to know what it feels like.
But you can listen through the Bible. So it has the spoken word on it. So when I walk or when I work in the yard on Saturday or when I even when I travel, instead of whatever else I might listen to, I'll put that into the app and listen to it. And especially those books of the Bibles that are a narrative story. Wow. It really does help it come alive. And so theoretically, I guess somebody needs to figure out a plan, but theoretically you could listen through the Bible and digest it. Would not want to replace that from putting your hands on Scripture and studying Scripture, but just the intake of Scripture, I think, is what you're saying, such a powerful thing.
One of the ways I would like to take some time to create a Bible reading through the year is to use Old Testament, you know, just three chapters a day. If we could get an Old Testament out of the narrative history books of the Bible, and you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, etc., and then take the Psalms, the Proverbs, Lamentations, and Job, and so I'd like to do a chapter in the Old Testament narratives, a chapter in the wisdom, including Job and Lamentations, Psalms, Proverbs, and Song of Solomon, and then a chapter in the New Testament. Those three chapters and set up a reading. I think that would be a good balanced reading through the Bible, one of those chapters each day as you're working your way through the Bible.
And this reinforcement that you have and to study the passage of Scripture that you're going to preach on Sunday. So I've encouraged people, you need a pre-sermon plan and a post-sermon plan. So you need something. Don't say amen at the end of that sermon. Our prayer is that sermon has application in our life. You do life takeaway, focus. There's a reason for that. So have a pre-plan and then a post-plan along with your time with the Lord plan.
Well, I would say it's okay to have a verbal amen at the end of my sermon. And in fact, those are very encouraging. But it's also great what you're saying is to have a lifestyle amen. Mm-hmm. And how do I work that through, maybe thinking through that on a Sunday night and a Monday?
So one of the things, Pastor, this end of the year, had the opportunity to kind of think back over the year. You know, the Lord did some amazing things, and we as a church had the opportunity and saw the Lord do some amazing things through us. We kind of did each thing just as it came. You know, if you start thinking back to the things that we provided as a church, but when I look back over, and I referenced this morning in the service this morning some of the things, but you know, that we actually had school in person from August through December. And there were people that got coronavirus, but never did we have a hot spot. Never did we have it spread the way that we were concerned that it would spread. That's incredibly encouraging to look back and to see that. And people might not think about it, but we had a functioning ballet. Boy, if people knew the hours upon hours that Peggy and us and Jim Alexander and the senior staff tried to figure out, how do you do ballet socially distanced? And the reason wasn't because these kids must have ballet. It was because this is a platform of ministry in their lives, and the ministry that could take place, the outreach, the discipleship ministry that could take place, the Ryan and the, you know, probably ballet, 300 to 400 people involved. Ryan and the 400 people, just amazing what the Lord was allowed us to do to engage in different ministry endeavors, what our youth ministry was able to do, getting creative. You know, back in the summer, we came up with the phrase that we were going to maximize ministry within the safety protocols. So quit fighting and resisting the protocols, now embrace them. And now how do you maximize ministry in the midst of that? And watching our members adopt that and do that. What God did through us is just miraculous in this last year.
You know, I still stand in amazement. That we were able to maintain mission and ministry and message. We're seeing fruit. People come to Christ. People growing in grace. Missions giving, missionary sending, National Missions Conference, anticipating the World Missions Conference. Just around the corner is the Embers Conference. We were able to do Advent. Now, we had to do some modifications to do the safety protocols. And now there were always the critics on both sides, as I talked about last week. Mm-hmm. But by and large, 90-95% of the people said, "Well, let me get in and make this thing work." Here's where my observations would be, and how can we accommodate that? And then that watching people come to consensus and working through things, and the result was ministry continuing, mission continuing, message being proclaimed. And God gave us amazing, I'm almost afraid to say it, not superstitiously, but I just want the Lord to know this is not presumptive. I am so grateful for this. There weren't spreader moments. There weren't hot spots. And that's amazing when you think of the youth ministry, when you think of the school, when you think of Birmingham Theological Seminary, when you think of the sports outreach, the ambassadors, the soccer, as you mentioned, when you think of the when you think of the ballet, when you think of the board directed ministry, the board directed ministries of Christian Medical Ministry, young business leaders, women's business leaders, when you see all of those outreach events and how they thought through what can we Zoom, what can we do streaming, how can we meet together, where are the combinations, and then how can we do so safely. Bruce, I would say now I have done about three related funerals, three COVID-related funerals, but two of the three that people didn't die of COVID, although I think COVID became the occasion for the other factors to bring them, for the Lord to bring them home to Himself. But what I'm grateful for is none of those are traced back to what's been happening here. Most of the time it was, you know, family members that came in that did whatever and things like that. So I'm grateful for that because I want to love my neighbor. So I tell people one of the reasons I wash my hands in preventive is because I love my neighbor. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give my neighbor a germ. And I've seen the by and large people resist the politicization of safety protocols. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen us being able to be a part of influencing public policy that the church and its mission is a protected entity in our Constitution for the free practice of religion. And in fact, the church is not only essential, it may be needed in a pandemic. The felt need may be even greater in moments like that because of what is happening to people in their business world, in their personal world, in their relationships, in their broken dreams, and all that's happening. You know, my heart goes out to these kids in schools you know, their high school year, their senior year, and this and that and the other. And I'm grateful. I watched last year as BCS did all that they could to honor the students. And I remember our July postponed graduation for them and the privilege to speak and at that. And so maintaining worship, and even though we've had to go to more worship services, we've been able to get, you know, like close to 1,500 people here on the Lord's Day worshiping the Lord. And then we've had Sundays where people in every continent but Antarctica are tuned in to us, and also all the states. So I am grateful for what the Lord's allowed us to do. Yet we realize the importance of assembly, the importance of mission, and all of that. And I'm grateful again for our leadership. It's such a privilege to serve the Lord with leadership that is unified around mission, message, and ministry, but says, hey, we're going to take safety concerns in the state where it has valid issues, and we're going to honor that. We're going to submit. If our state would overstep like some of the others, we're ready to. But so far, we've been able to be salt and light in this. And learn from it. This has been a great learning experience for us as well. So it's been an interesting year, Bruce. It really has.
Feedback from some of our members, just so appreciative. One thing I would say is, around Christmas and since then, I've heard from a lot of people that are homebound for medical and other reasons. They aren't getting out, and so they are so dependent upon the live stream that we're doing, et cetera. And they're so appreciative of it. It's different when you see people here and you get to talk to them and they communicate their appreciation. But boy, these people are so appreciative of it. And one of them asked me this question, and I've heard it from a couple other people. Okay, I invited someone to come to one of the outreach, whether it be the drive-through nativity or the Christmas Eve, et cetera. So they heard that. So they said, Bruce, what do I do now? How do I follow up that opportunity where I know they heard the gospel in one way, shape, or form, or saw the gospel and heard it? What do I do now to follow them up? What would you say to them?
Well, again, I'm Mr. Johnny One Note on this. Mm. Ask them some questions. Mm. So what did you think? And by the way, what did you hear? And have you ever thought about? And then, so you take that common experience that you had, and you know what they heard, and so you begin to. Now, one of the things that could help on moments like this, when you bring people to an event that is primarily evangelistic, like a drive-through nativity or our concerts, now they're always a blessing for us, but they're a great opportunity. Remember, much of what you can ask people to follow up afterwards will be based upon what you said and asked before you brought them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And, you know, like I was telling people, when you go through the drive-through nativity, tell me every time Jesus is mentioned and why is he mentioned in each scene. Or just something like that to get the conversation going. Mm-hmm. So I always try to find conversational moments. I always try to use questions and things like that. Now, if you feel comfortable with social distancing, to invite them over for a cup of coffee and a packaged dessert or something like that, feel free to do that. And if they feel free to come and comfortable to come, and I always just introduce it. Look, if we can have y'all over socially distanced and everything, would y'all be okay with that? Or if I could talk to you in the office. I've had a lot of follow up with people that have come to the office, and they'll come in, they'll say, okay, so is it all right? And I said, yeah, exactly. I've measured it. Between my chair and you is 7 feet and 6 inches. You're fine.
That's right.
And so we can talk and work our way through this. So,
Pastor, I was going to say, so I cheated this year because in the God's providence, I had COVID during drive-thru. That's the first time I've not been to a walk-thru or a drive-thru, and I had COVID during that. And so I invited some people to come, and they did, and they engaged it. So I got to say to them, you know, I didn't get to be there. So tell me what you saw. Tell me what unfolded. A buddy of mine and I got tickled with each other because as he was telling me, he said that, and then Jesus rode a camel to a house where the wise men came to see him. And I went, do what? And he kind of got the camel mixed up in there somewhere. So he had Jesus on the camel as a little boy. But it was great to have the opportunity to talk about and to say, and why did that? And then just one of the things that it struck him, now it would be commonplace for us, but it struck him is, I said to him, now you know that whole narrative is in the Bible. Really? So now it's not sentence to sentence to sentence, but I can show you where the... And so now one of the things we're doing is I'm jotting down the different places, and there aren't that many.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm jotting down the different places for him, and he's looking them up and reading them. And it really is giving validity to what he heard. And so it's kind of the next step of that.
Yeah, so I think that's, you know, the kind of follow-up to the events. But let me just say, I would love as we move into a new year that our people, as a people... You know, Bruce, we just went home to be with the Lord a week or so ago. One of the great evangelists in our church, Dr. Bill Buck. And so I would just ask the people, look, when a guy like Dr. Bill Buck goes to be with Jesus, we need people to step up. We need some new Dr. Bill Bucks. Now, we have some, but go ahead and step up.
We may need 10 people to step up.
May need 10 to replace him. Listen, when I was with him, I mean... Anybody that got within earshot, we got a chance to evangelize him. Of course, and he would always pull the old trick on that I get on people. You know, people get near sight, and he'd raise his voice. Yeah, now, preacher, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus, preacher? And everybody's listening in. Well, okay, I just got a little congregation here. Let me preach Jesus. And there's many, many things that we can do in terms of sharing the gospel. But I would say to answer again, find ways to relationally using questions to follow up with people, because that honors them and honors their opinion, and it'll open doors. If you ask two or three questions, there's something they're going to say that will become the platform for you to share your testimony, to get to the gospel, or to share what that meant to you when you saw it, and how do you feel about that? And, you know, and then you just get to, you know, one of the reasons Jesus came was so that we could be born again and we could go to heaven. And of course, he did it because there wasn't a way, which now means there is a way, but it also means he is the way. Have you ever got to that point where you have dealt with what Jesus said? It's one thing for us to know about. It's another thing for us to know him. Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. And so I just think that's what I would encourage people to do.
Amen. Amen. That opportunity just to keep that conversation going. So, Pastor, we shift now. Communication went out this past week that we shift now to Interim Worship Ministry Plan E. I don't know if we're going to make it to Z, but we might. But we're on E now, and it's a bit of a tweak, but there is probably the most significant. We're maintaining our congregational community gatherings, maintaining the three services on Sunday morning. The Lord's really blessed us with the balance there. What an incredible blessing for that to work out for people to be able to gather in worship. And if it exceeds that, we'll adjust. We've got some plans to make adjustments. But one of the things is that instead of us having conversations every Sunday evening, we're going to shift to having our Sunday evening service and then periodically using this platform as conversations as a part of that evening service. As we wrap up tonight, you want to give them a little bit of insight as to what we plan on doing?
Yeah, you know, Bruce, we have gotten such feedback thanking us for this. And actually, in my mind, I've always wanted to do something like this, but I haven't wanted to give up Sunday morning, Sunday night. So what we've come up with, and the elders have approved this, is we're not going to say, we do series of sermons. I'll be drawing in some of the pastors, and we'll be doing, you know, we're going to get back to what happens when you die. I didn't finish that service, that series. And then we're going to be doing these topical expository series of sermons to enhance the expositional preaching of Sunday morning on the book of Romans. And one of the things that we're going to do is when we get to the end of that talk, those series will be like 6 to maximum 10 sermons. Mm-hmm. And so what we'll do is we get to the end of it, we will have a worship time, including a brief concluding statement on the series, and then we will field questions and we will stream it. We're looking at streaming it, but we're also, but it'll be in the context of a live audience.
Well, won't that be nice?
Yeah, yeah. And so
I don't hardly ever speak to people anymore.
So we have a live audience here on that Sunday night because we're going to start back Sunday evening worship. One of the things that the Advent gave us a chance to do was to find out how we could do a Sunday evening event. Now there's some ancillary things like children's choirs. We're not going to get started back yet. Let me tell you something else about this. Part of this is not only adding back, not adding to, but really, but adding back into the Sunday evening worship, but enhancing our Sunday school Zooms and meetings and the opportunity to meet during the week, with your schedule of when your congregation can meet. I want to really encourage people to do that. We really need to get together in our communities, and to be able to do that once every 2 weeks, and us have the facility to accommodate it, is don't miss that opportunity. Thirdly, normally kids go to Sunday school, then we come into church, and about halfway through the service, the children in children's church are dismissed out. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not able to do that now, that is, come to the children's Sunday school, because we just cannot create enough room to accomplish it safely. So what I said is they're doing such a great job in children's church. Okay, but normally children's church is about 35 to 45 minutes. But you've got them now for 60 to 65 minutes. Mm-hmm. Well, how about taking the first part of that and let's do Sunday school, Bible lessons, Sunday school setting. Then you transition for the last 35 to 40 minutes into children's worship. So now our children are not only getting children's church, but they're getting a Sunday school experience and then transition into children's church worship time as well during our Sundays. And I think those are at two different times on Sunday morning that they'll be able to do that.
All three.
No, it's now all three.
The services.
Well, right. Great. It's
8,
now
9,
all
30,
three.
11.
So, and then we started at Advent opening up the bookstore. So mm-hmm. on the Lord's Day, that's available for you. We're going to see how we can continue to increase the hours of the bookstore. There are all of these things that we're now able to just keep enlarging back. Again, with conscious commitment to loving one another well and by providing a safe environment to the best of our ability. And I want to thank everybody who is part of the solution and part of helping us do it so that we can maintain worship, discipleship, loving one another, and evangelism. Those things are so crucial that we want to really make sure those things get done. So I'm grateful for the input of the elders and deacons and the formation of this plan, and now the implementation of it through the pastoral staff, the leadership, the elders and deacons, and just the people taking hold of it. I mean, I've seen them do it so many times now. It's just a blessing to my heart and soul.
Yeah. We as a church, I think if we can see this next Plan E as a more global opportunity for everybody to maximize ministry, but within the safety protocols. We're not setting them aside.
Right.
We want to provide as safe as possible. We're not ignoring them. We're going to embrace them. We're just getting better at and engaging and creating safe places, safe opportunities to maximize ministry within that. Then that helps us as a church just continue to move.
Right, and continue to pray for the highly possibly vulnerable ministries like the school, the seminary, mm-hmm. the sports ministries, the ballet, the board-directed ministries. And then, again, our worship time on the Lord's Day will continue to be beneficial and safe at the same time. So I'm grateful for that. And then I just ask our people to pray. People have asked me about the vaccine, so let me just go ahead and say a couple of words there.
Sure.
There were 79 initiatives to do the vaccine, and and four of them have become predominant. And of those, what you have basically available, and this is what I always ask the doctor, is this a synthetic vaccine or a live virus vaccine? If it's synthetic vaccine, then you know there's no history of fetal tissue engagement in the development of the vaccine. And then so then it becomes a personal decision that you make. And that's where I think it ought to remain, is a personal decision. Now, I think businesses, you know, if they want to make sure their employees are vaccinated, that's up to them. But the church, that's not in our purview. Mm-hmm. Our purview is to try to equip you to think biblically about a Christian medical world and life view that's preventive, curative, and palliative within the framework of biblical ethics. And that'd be a personal and family decision that you make. But I do believe they're saved. Now, people have asked me, will I take it or not? My conviction, I have no problem taking it. I do a flu shot, so I'll do that. But I also know we got a limited amount right now, and they haven't done it for pregnant women or children because they haven't tested that yet, and they're just starting to test pregnant women and children. But for everybody else, I'm just going to kind of intentionally put myself in line, not up front but behind, because I believe healthcare workers. Who I really want them to have the opportunity to get their vaccine.
It's kind of that lifeboat concept, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That it's kind of women and children
who
first.
Goes into, who goes in?
It's a different list, but who?
Right. Who goes in the lifeboat? And I'm going to do that. Those in vulnerable categories, and but I have no problem taking it personally. So. But I understand how people have different convictions on that. That's just a matter of your personal convictions and your family. I do think that ultimately, for whatever it's worth, I do think that the virus tamp down awaits, quote unquote, herd immunity and vaccine. Those two things working together. People have asked me, when do I see more normal relief? I am not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but my guess is you're probably looking at late spring or early summer. And but we'll keep what I want people to see is there's a reason we've got A, B, C, D, E. We keep pressing back and pressing forward. And the only way we're able to do that is we're helping each other get there so that we can make sure that Christ Church has a prevailing ministry in society, and the crisis becomes an opportunity for us to show our confidence in the Lord, our love for one another, and our love for our neighbor.
Amen. Well, that's all we have time for this evening. Happy New Year. We do look forward to serving the Lord with you during this year. May He be glorified in all that we do.